The first reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at every moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in the humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Thanks be to God.
As Ian comes up, we'd just like to pray for him. Thank you, Lord, for the words you've put into Ian's mouth, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit to spread around through the church today and let the words hit where they're supposed to hit. And we lift this up in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. And can I just welcome those who've snuck in at the back? We've got a lovely full church now. It's great. But I'm sorry about the change of time, but because it's a combined service for Aldham and Mark's Tay, we thought we'd just pick a sort of time in the middle between 9:15 and 11. But I know it's sometimes a bit confusing, isn't it, when we change the time. Anyway, welcome to you all. Today, well, actually, strictly not today, but Friday, the 2nd of February, marks the close of the Epiphany season, which kind of follows on from Christmas. Epiphany itself, the 6th of January, is 12 days after Christmas. You know all the songs about the 12 days of Christmas. So that finishes on the 6th of January, Epiphany. And now, the 2nd of February, Friday, is 40 days after Christmas. Some call it Candlemas, when candles are brought to be blessed as symbols of Christ, the light of the world. So I'm going to go and light the candles now. So Candlemas is kind of the culmination of the whole Christmas and Epiphany season. And then next Sunday is the third Sunday before Lent, which kind of prepares us for Holy Week and Easter. So this moment today is kind of like the turning point from post-Christmas to pre-Easter. One boy in Mark Tay's school asked a very good question in assembly, actually back in December. He said this: if Jesus died at Easter, why does he then go on to be born afterwards at Christmas? And the teacher turned to me and said, Reverend Ian, that's one for you. Thank you very much. Well, I'm just glad that the boy was paying attention at the Open the Book stories. The annual cycle can be a bit confusing, I know, but with the seasons, winter follows summer, and summer follows winter. At Christmas, we follow Jesus' birth through to his death and resurrection and the growth of the Christian church, and then we follow the cycle round again the following year. Today, we sometimes call the presentation of Christ in the temple, when we read that story that Carol read to us from Luke 2 of Joseph and Mary bringing 8-day-old Jesus into the temple at Jerusalem. And they encounter Simeon and Anna, elderly, but waiting their whole lives for this moment, this crucial encounter. And they're both of them, Simeon and Anna, both prompted by the Holy Spirit of God to welcome the Christ and to prophesy over him. And actually to give us the Nunc Dimittis. They're witnesses to God's close involvement in this humble family, the family coming from Bethlehem and returning to Nazareth in Galilee. I thought actually I'd put the Nunc Dimittis up there on the screen, and maybe we could even say this together, these words. Okay. Swap specs so I can read it. Let's say this together. Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Have a look at that verse 3 there just for a moment. A light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. That's where we get the theme of Candlemas, if you like, that Christ is a light to the people of the world. And the story finishes, let's take that down again, Jane, now. The story finishes with the lovely words, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So you get the feeling that around Jesus and his birth and the Holy Family, there was the grace of God and the prophecy and the Spirit of God working. Nevertheless, alongside all this divine inspiration, Hebrews, that Leon read to us, Hebrews reminds us of the human nature of Christ. And this has actually been a matter of furious debate down the centuries. Was Jesus, for example, was he a prophet? Yes, a good, kind man, a superb teacher, but not quite the Son of God. Simply a good guy, as actually Jews and Muslims and many people today might well say, oh yes, a very, very good man, but not the Son of God. Or, on the other hand, Was Christ some kind of sinless God, angel, spirit, working miracles in the world, but not really hampered by our human condition, not troubled by the problems that we face, somehow a little bit above and beyond us, as I think actually many Christians today sometimes view him? Well, the answer to both of those is no. The debaters of theology and actually our church creeds have always concluded that Jesus is both. He's both fully God, conceived actually by the Holy Spirit in Mary, and sharing fully in the divine nature, and also fully human, born of Mary herself, and sharing in our human condition with all its weaknesses. Why is that important, that Jesus should be both? Well, his name, Jesus, given by the angel, that name means God saves, Yahshua, God saves. That was his reason for coming to earth. His other name, prophesied centuries beforehand by Isaiah, was Emmanuel. You remember that from the Christmas stories. And that name means God with us. So in other words, he had to bridge the gap between God and humankind. He had to have a foot in both camps. He had to share both natures. If he was not God, then he would not have the power to save us and free us. And if he was not one of us, then he would not have the human connection. He would not be God with us. He would not have a purchase on the human condition. Hebrews 2 puts it like this: since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. So what Hebrews is saying there in verse 14 is Jesus needed to share in our flesh and blood in order to break the power of the devil. And on the cross, what looked like a defeat at the hands of the Romans and the Jewish leaders, it was in fact a much greater victory over the devil himself. That's actually part of the reason why I chose Once in Royal David City, because it talks about Jesus being like us. Tears and smiles like us he knew, and he feels for our sadness, and he shares in our gladness. Verse 15 in Hebrews says he, and free all those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. I wonder, do you recognize that description of humanity? Because death is described in Scripture as the last enemy. Previous generations were much more familiar with death and dying. But now, these days, I don't think we speak of it if we can avoid it. We talk instead of passing, don't we, rather than dying. Many people today that I meet have never ever seen a dead person in their life. We expect research funds, for example, to pay for the answers. We expect science to discover cures for everything. We expect the medics to heal every trauma or disease. We fear dying alone or in pain. Death is still the ultimate threat, isn't it? But Christ came to draw the sting of death so that it becomes, for the follower of Christ, not the big no to life itself, but instead the gateway to eternal life in his presence. The Salvation Army talk of being promoted to glory. I love that phrase. The New Testament talks of falling asleep in Christ. Some people speak of going home. All good phrases, aren't they, to use for Christians? Verse 16, for surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. Hebrews is saying that, well, in order to help angels, Christ would have needed only a heavenly nature, divine, a spirit being. But Abraham's descendants, do note, not Jews, but people of faith, as Paul explains in Romans 4 and Galatians 3. Abraham's descendants have flesh and blood. So that was what Christ needed in order to help us. He had to be made like us, fully human in every way. Just dwell on that phrase for a moment. Like us, fully human in every way. I don't know, maybe there's something that you're going through, struggling with at this moment. Because being human is not all sweetness and light. Has its downsides too. I've had a couple of migraines this week. I didn't know where to put myself with the pain. Others suffer in ways that are much worse still. Christ had to be made like us, fully human in every way. He knows what it's like, whatever you're going through. Why? Why did he have to be made like us? Well, Hebrews goes on to say, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Now, the Jews were very familiar with priests making sacrifices in the temple, making atonement for the sins of the people. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, every September in the Jewish calendar, that's the great festival, the holiest day of the Jewish year. Jewish high priests had to make atonement repeatedly, year after year. And Hebrews explains that Christ is the perfect high priest because he did this once, once only, for all sins, for all people, for all time. What a saviour. Verse 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Our passage closes with a winning word of comfort for those who are being tempted. Human nature is full of desires and temptations. I watched a TV program on Alcoholics Anonymous this week, AA. Such a powerful addiction. And yet AA is doing such great work, helping people. I don't know, maybe you face some sort of particular problem at the moment. Some things I know may be easy enough for some, but harder for you. The person who gives in quickly to temptation doesn't suffer much under temptation. They may suffer afterwards, to be fair, but they don't suffer from wrestling with temptation. But Christ never gave in. He himself suffered, says Hebrews, when he was tempted. So in other words, he knows what it's like. And he's able to help those who are being tempted. So as we turn, beginning towards the season of Lent, we begin to think about temptation. We begin to think about how we can resist temptation and follow God's will and God's commands. And as we do so, Jesus knows. He's been through it and not given in. And so he can help and he can give you strength. Amen.
I think it's a good point in time to lift up all our troubles to the Lord. Just everyone that's got issues going on in their lives, lift them up to the Lord now. We ask that the living Christ be with us now, standing with us, holding us, carrying us where we need to be carried, and supporting us when we need support. I ask that the Holy Spirit comes in and surrounds everyone, comes into to the people. If you hold out your hands, open them up and ask that the Holy Spirit comes now if you're suffering. Just let him come and rest within you. Let his healing power come to you now. Just let him fill you with his Spirit. Let him enter your bloodstream and go through every part of your body. Feel the presence of Jesus now. Is he carrying you? Is he holding you fast, just steadfast on the straight and narrow, keeping you where you should be, guiding you where you should go? Just leave the Holy Spirit with you. Just continue all the way through the service. He will stay with you as long as you want. Jesus will carry you as long as you want. We ask this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.